Day one, Saints training camp in the book. Still no Michael Thomas. One superstar for the Saints says he's not worried. Beer, wine, and Tiger Stadium. New facilities. We'll talk with Associate Deputy Athletic Director Virge Osberry. Will we see the tweet, hold that Tiger, around 6 o'clock tonight? LSU football fans hope so, as the state's number one prospect makes his choice. Tigers, Aggies, or Crimson Tide? Plus a little this and a little that. Today, Friday, July 26, 2019.
Bogarts hits a hanger high and deep to left, and that one's gone. Over the monster seats and hit one of the signs out there. That would have been on the Lansdowne Street. Second homer of the night for Bogarts. His fourth hit. He's driven in four and scored four.
Now the pitch. Frazier lines one to left center. Here comes Renfro. He dives. He can't get it. Rolls underneath him. Goes to the wall at the 370 mark. Alonso has scored. Cano around third. He's going to come home. Score standing without a relay throw. And on its second, probably scored a double. And two runs batted in is Todd Frazier.
And the pitch is swung on, and that's slugged high in the air. Deep left center field. This one's way back, and this one is history. A grand slam for Danny Santana. And a six RBI game. He busts it open. It's 10-3 Texas.
Yeah, baseball, enjoy while you can, because here's football. Training camps opening up all over the country, including the New Orleans Saints, who went there through their first day of camp at around 8:50 this morning. Thousands in attendance on Airline Drive to watch the Saints get started. Still no Michael Thomas. A no-show at Saints camp. That's okay. Saints are keeping communication lines open with his agent and Cam Jordan on Michael Thomas missing at Saints camp. I'm not worried until Drew Brees is worried. And when that happens, well, it's not going to happen. They'll get this thing rolling. It's great to be with you on a Friday, July 26th. My main man, CD, producer extraordinaire, in the 237 Roost Studios, the master control suite with more buttons to push than I've ever seen before in my life. But he does it, and he does it exceptionally well. Yours truly here, Studio 1A, Friday edition, as we get you ready for the weekend. We'll hear from Sean Payton. We'll hear from Mickey Loomis on a litany of topics that they discussed. And look, this is a Saints team that is loaded with talent, loaded with experience, and we'll see what some of the key storylines are going to be as this season goes on, as this training camp goes on. The Saints added linebacker Josh Martin to the roster to bolster their pass rushing options. We'll look at the battle for the center position as Eric McCoy, the rookie, battling with veteran Nick Easton. But it's Eric McCoy's to lose rather than to win. And the Saints are keeping their options open on Carl Granderson despite a six-month jail sentence. And it's a very important training camp for wide receiver Cameron Meredith. Some of the storylines to be looking for with the New Orleans Saints. It's been a busy week for LSU. The announcement that Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf's jersey, number 35, he was Chris Jackson when he played as a two-time All-American for LSU, started things off. Then it was the $28 million investment into the refurbishing of the LSU Football Operations Center. Then LSU announced their plans and how they're going to distribute and sell beer and wine in Tiger Stadium this season. will kind of sum it all up with Associate Deputy Athletic Director Virg Ausberry coming up at around 2:30 this afternoon. So be sure to stay tuned for that. In hour two, we'll have our Hot Topic segment, the Friday Five, compliments of CD. And then later on this afternoon or this evening, LSU hopes to hear that the state's top prospect has chosen LSU to play collegiately in football. Jaquelin Roy, the big defensive lineman from University Lab School in Baton Rouge, is going to pick today between around 5:30, 6 o'clock, between LSU, Alabama, and Texas A&M. Mike Scarborough of TigerBait.com will explain the significance of it and will give us where he's leaning to at this point and time. It's a significant opportunity. Anytime you can beat Alabama for a recruit, it's just says you're heading in the right direction. Just does. And as we do each and every Friday, George Becknell will join us. We'll talk about the week that was Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and that tandem in the NBA. We'll talk about Zion's shoe deal amongst a whole bunch of other topics with George Becknell. We'll do our daily history lesson, some birthday wishes, and we'll get on out of here at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's where we are. Former LSU guard Tremont Waters has inked his two-way contract with the Boston Celtics. It was announced that he would get that during Summer League out in Vegas, but he's actually signed the two-way contract, much like Josh Gray, another former LSU guard, did with the New Orleans Pelicans yesterday. Tried to get Josh Gray on, and he is hard to get a hold of. But Tremont Waters, the Celtics announced it today. He was the 51st overall pick in the draft. He started all five of the Celtics Summer League games, averaged 11.2 points per game on 38% field goal shooting. Got to get that better. 1.8 rebounds, 4.8 assists, and two steals in 24.3 minutes of playing time. He scored in double figures three times, including a Summer League high 16 points in the summer finale against the Memphis Grizzlies. So Tremont Waters gets the two-way contract. So does Naz Reid with the Minnesota Timberwolves. So two LSU Tigers getting it done on the hardwood. Yes. We saw some good plays in Saints training camp from Drew Brees and recently acquired tight end Jared Cook. Very important that those two get on the same page like this. Again, back to the no-show of Michael Thomas. I'm not worried about this at all. He and Drew Brees can wake up and in 2 weeks from now, never having thrown the ball or caught the ball from one another, and they'll be back in sync in one practice. That's how in rhythm the two of them are and have been since they both joined together. It's the best receiver that Drew Brees has ever had since he's been a Saint. He's better than Marcus Colston. There's no question. So I believe this is going to give the other players the opportunity to get more reps, get more comfortable, show what they can do. Who's going to step up and be that alpha dog? Who's going to grab that second wide receiver slot and separate themselves from everyone else? I think it's going to be beneficial. It's going to work out. The numbers aren't that far apart. I don't see problems to this at all. I just don't. So football is upon us. LSU's hoping for a big-time commitment tonight. We talked about LSU-Texas on the basketball hardwood in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. So that's a good one as Will Wade's defending SEC champs open up the season on Friday, November 8th. In Peach Palace against Bowling Green, that's a team that won 22 games a season ago. Texas won 21 games a year ago and won the postseason NIT in New York to close out the season. We've got one of their stars playing for the Pelicans in Jackson Hayes. I'm glad he's gone. LSU will now face a minimum of 7 non-conference teams that won 20 or more games last year, and 6 who appeared in postseason tournament games. Some of the schools may not sound sexy to you, but they play good basketball. Will Wade knows how to schedule. He did it a year ago. He's done it now. So, those are some of your headlines for the day. We'll take our first break of the day. When we come back, we'll hear from New Orleans Saints training camp. We'll hear from Sean Payton. We'll hear from Mickey Loomis about activities off the field and activities on the field. It's all coming your way. Friday edition, the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station. We'll be right back.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back. We are your source for all LSU sports. We'll have all the LSU football, basketball, baseball games right here on 103.7 The Game as we have. And we'll continue to do so. Meanwhile, the New Orleans Saints, huge season awaiting them. Huge opportunity. It's a loaded football team. They started training camp today. Prior to the start of training camp, the head coach, the general manager, have their pre-camp press conference. Of course, the big storyline so far, and this is what drives Sean Payton absolutely nuts, is we're not talking about on the field, we're talking about things off the field. And here he is discussing Michael Thomas not showing up for the start of training camp.
I think it's something that hopefully will be resolved soon. It was more common, I think, back when some of these picks weren't slotted, more common with rookie players. But, you know, I think his agent, Mickey, those guys are working on it. And, you know, I'm optimistic it'll be done fairly soon.
It's not like it's a rookie quarterback, or it's not like a new quarterback coming in trying to learn the system. Michael Thomas knows Drew Brees. Drew Brees knows Michael Thomas. They can fall out of bed tomorrow and go out and catch 10 passes and do like he normally does. Not concerned about this at all. We've seen Danny Etling, the former LSU Tiger who's now with New England, and you know, he's on special teams. He has played some quarterback. They moved him from quarterback, give him a try to be a wide receiver. He was back today at quarterback. He is trying, I guess, to be the Saints' version of Taysom Hill. And Sean Payton talked about his Swiss Army knife yesterday.
Well, I think to answer your question, I think you're constantly looking at ideas that would suit, you know, his skill set. You know, he's someone that obviously runs well. He's a tremendous blocker and loves playing football. And I think that he's a big part of what we do as a team. He's got versatility. I mean, for a guy to be able to play in all the kicking game snaps, I don't know how many snaps he averaged on offense, but I know there's been games in the 20s. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, throughout this preseason and as you get into the regular season, you know, a lot of it's opponent driven. But he's been fun to work with.
Oh, I love him. And you're going to see more teams try and do that. Instead of having three players doing three different things, you got one player doing three different things and doing it at a pretty good level. So Taysom Hill, an integral Swiss Army knife for the Saints. The Saints made about five moves prior to the start of training camp to up their roster to the full allotment. And here is Sean Payton talking about managing that roster depth.
Well, I think, look, that's the question as you start camp, you know, relative to, you know, the roster, the right group of guys, and then this team will be different than last year's team or the year before. And I think that, you know, I think historically, and I don't think this will ever change, but that competition is what can bring out the best in an individual.
Some of those additions were Josh Martin and Ziggy Hood. Martin to improve a pass rush. Ziggy Hood has been in the league for quite some time and has had over 100 starts on the defensive line. Cut number 8, here's Sean Payton talking about two new roster moves prior to camp.
Well, with Josh, it was you know, he's been a real good special teams player, and so his physical was good. Ziggy's been a very consistent player. So, you know, it's not unusual for us to have a workout like that, you know, prior to camp. Coaches are back in the office. And so we brought in a handful of different positions to kind of update. Even if a player's not signed, you can at least update the grade relative to what kind of shape he's in. You know, is he, you know, we'll have a whole ready list once you get into the start of the season. If there's an injury, you know, you kind of know here are the two or three players that, you know, quite honestly, we could be calling on a Sunday after the game to organize a flight in. And so you're gathering the information all the time. And, yeah, these guys fit some specific areas, you know, that we thought were important.
Managing your roster depth. You got to always be ahead of the game. An important position, Max Unger, no longer a Saint. He's retired. It's the starting center spot between rookie Eric McCoy and veteran Nick Easton. Sean Payton, cut number 5, talked about the two of them at that important position, the quarterback of the offensive line, the center spot.
Yeah, both those guys are going to get a lot of work there. Obviously, Nick's played that position. He's also played guard. You know, those guys will be plenty of reps for those players for us to get a good evaluation on, you know, the veteran player and the young player. But I think, you know, look, it's always difficult replacing a talented player and someone like Max, who's also a real good leader. But I think that, you know, we've got two guys that have played that position, you know, pretty well.
It's Eric McCoy's job to lose, not to win. They want Nick Easton to be that guy that can go from left to right and fill in wherever they can. But they want Eric McCoy to be that guy. Another key position, defensive line. What's the latest on Sheldon Rankins? Here's Sean Payton's comment about him.
No, I won't, because that'll lead to updates every week and then every Tuesday. And so he's rehabbing, and, you know, hopefully I know he's on schedule. New precedence here right in the middle of July, and then I'll be upset for the whole year.
So ahead, apparently he's rehabbing and on schedule. He's an integral part of this, as is the improvement and the development of last year's first-round pick, Marcus Davenport. Is he ready to make that big, big leap and become that pass-rushing factor that the Saints need? Sean Payton on Marcus Davenport.
Yeah, he's doing well. We haven't been in pads yet, you know, so it's hard to say from the end, but he's healthy. And we saw how he played when he was healthy last year. And so I'm sure he's excited and looking forward to it.
As we are as well. And finally, from Sean Payton, no Michael Thomas. Who's going to be that second receiver? Can you count on Ted Ginn Jr. to be healthy? They bring in the big investment in Cameron Meredith from the Chicago Bears. He has been hurt and hurt and hurt again. Sean Payton talked about a significant period of time for Cameron Meredith.
Yeah, listen, he completed the conditioning test. This will be an important camp for him. You know, I'm sure he's excited. You know, so the key is getting the work in that he's going to have an opportunity to. And, you know, and then there's that balance of being smart you know, there's a handful of players that are coming into training camp, you know, full, and yet we got to be smart as we, you know, bring them back to that workload. They did pretty well. So there's a new surface in there, you know, new field turf surface, which can be a little sticky, so the sleds were a little bit slower. But, it was good. I was pleased. I thought they did a really good job.
In shape, ready to go. They better be. It's a very, very important year for the Saints. Mickey Loomis had his time at the microphone. And, of course, the first question he was asked, where are we with the Saints and Michael Thomas and his agent? And Mickey Loomis said, it's not as far apart as you think it is.
I can tell you when we're a long ways apart. It's hard for me to tell you when we're close. I think we're close when I see the player in Kai's office with the document in front of him. Then I can tell you we're close. You know, I don't know the mindset of the other party. And, you know, they're going to find something they like. And at that point, we'll have something done. So,
it's not that far apart. It's just not. It's just a question of when. And can they make the numbers work to satisfy both camps? But it bothers Mickey Loomis that his star wide receiver isn't in camp.
It bothers me because look, it's a reflection on you know, the job that we do, and in a perfect world, this would be done, and we both feel either real good about it or both feel real bad about it. And he'd be in here working. And look, I know Mike Thomas wants to be here, so it's not a question of him not wanting to be here.
There you go. So just some of the sound from the very beginning of a long period of Saints training camp. They're keeping their options open on Carl Granderson, who has a 6-month jail sentence in Wyoming. So wait and see. Just keep your stars healthy and get ready to roll. All right, we'll take a quick time out here. When we come back, what a week it's been at LSU. We'll recap it all with Verge Osbury next on the Jordy Helfberg Show. 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Helfberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Well, on this Friday, it's been quite a busy week at LSU. First, the ribbon-cutting ceremonies for their renovation of the Football Operations Center, and then the game plan for the distribution of beer and wine in Tiger Stadium. So I thought it would be a perfect time to talk with the Executive Deputy Athletic Director and the Executive Director of External Relations, my good friend Verge Osbury. 17 years in the administrative business of LSU Athletics. And Verge, it's great to have you, buddy. How are you?
Doing great, Jordy. Appreciate being on.
17 years. Can you remember what it was like 17 years ago, and now what the campus that we know and love in the athletic department has turned into? It's kind of amazing.
Jordy, 17 years ago, the whole university, what it looked like to what it looked like today. You know, with the new dormitories on campus, athletic facilities on campus, new buildings on campus. Everything LSU has transpired over the last few years has just been great.
People don't realize you were a heck of a football player. You led LSU in tackles for two consecutive seasons. You went to 4 bowl games. You didn't have any sleep pods, but boy, they have them now. Take me through the concept of this is all about the players and using and utilizing their time to the fullest is my concept of why these renovations took place.
Jordy, you remember when we were in school, we slept on wooden benches pretty much to get our rest. And like,
right.
I tried to tell Coach Nader they owe us back pay for this. No, but you know, we do things now. You know, science has improved and technology has improved the world we live in. And we try to do what's best for the student athletes. And they as well, all of those things, the student health and well-being and nutrition and strength and conditioning and treatment and training room and rest, all of that support about being an elite athlete now in college. And that's who we're recruiting against, those type of programs that we recruit against, and those kind of teams, you know, we want to be in that top tier. And at LSU, you know, our motto, and that's why we won so much from 2000 up until now. And every year, you know, we've been in bowl games every year and compete for SEC championships and national championships. At LSU, whatever we do, we want to be the best at it. And when we talk about this facility and the nutrition center that feeds all of our student athletes, when you walk in that part of it, the options they have for all athletes, some people need to gain weight, some people need to lose, some people need to maintain their weight. And we have a nutritionist working with our athletes to make sure what goes in their body is appropriate. You know, the sleeping pod is just a part of it. That's where a young man could go in the locker room between practices and lay down, relax, Tyron Matthew, game room, another place you can go and relax, the lounge area. So we want to give them all the options they could have so they could be successful here at LSU.
Virg Osberry, kind enough to join us. You are the Executive Director of External Relations. I've never seen a topic draw such a line in the sand with all the privately raised money for this renovation, and then you had the backlash from other sides against this. To me, and you tell me, to me this, I think it's going to end up benefiting those others in the long run because it's drawn attention to maybe some of the aspects that they have let slip under the table a little bit. So if those are complaining about the library, well, they can go out and raise the money. I think it's drawn attention to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, Joey, I don't care that way. You know, everybody has different opinions in life about everything. Everything you do, there's an opinion about it. This is America, and that's great that people have different opinions. And look, we're an athletic department. We understand that without the university, it wouldn't be an athletic department. And we're here at LSU to support the university, just like the athletic department. Over, you know, last 10 years, Jordy, the LSU athletic department has given the university over $100 million. Also support the band. The whole band is ours, $1.8 million, where most schools, the band is split the cost. We've done a lot. The band hall on this campus, we've done a lot in the athletic department to help the university, which we should do. We'll continue to do that. That's what we're supposed to do, Jordy, help the university, help the institution in whatever way we can. So people have opinions. Look, I don't pay attention to that stuff. We do the best what we need to do and where we're at LSU to help LSU at that time. And we move on. We don't go back.
No question.
I don't go back and get into it. And look, the faculty here, we appreciate the faculty here. They do a great job. They do a great job of teaching at LSU. And we support LSU. We're one. We're not separated in athletics and university side.
I think what people don't understand is the athletic department is its own separate entity. It takes no money from the academic side of things. It runs its own business. But yet, as you said, it certainly gives back to the other side as one. And that's terrific. And that's what, you know, when the athletic department's successful and football's successful, enrollment goes up. It just all works hand in hand. And it's all good. The other story of the week, it was inevitable. It was a fact. It was just a question of how LSU was going to implement the selling of beer and wine at football games. And man, that is a huge undertaking that I'm sure you're well aware of.
Yes, you know, we've been meeting with people throughout the state, ATC and others, to make sure that we have everything in place for the first game. It's a long process, Jordy, and how we get it set up. And it's something else where I think it's going to go well. You know, people say, well, you know, we're going to cause problems in stadiums. Just assure us, wherever there's professional stadiums and other stadiums where they sell alcohol, they have less problems than they do where they don't. Because people are not binge drinking trying to get into the stadium before the game. So we think this is going to work well for us. It'd be good for our fans. And, Joe, this is all about the new wave of fan experience. You know, what we're doing for our fans so they can come to the game, enjoy the game. And, you know, I don't think fans will come watch a football game and just get sloppy drunk. I just don't believe that. And so I think this is going to work well for our fan base. And, you know, we vote on it. We give every school their option to do what they needed to do. Some wanted to wait a year, some wanted to do it near, and some might not do it. But I think that's all we want to do, to have the option to do that and to sell in Tiger Stadium. And is just the way you look at the statistics and numbers in football. They've been dropping every year. And so we have to do certain things, different things, to keep that fan there, keep the fan there throughout the whole game.
And now call me crazy, but before people did do all that binge drinking, they would come into the game, and by halftime, it would wear off, and so they would go out and go to their cars, and they would leave. Now maybe they don't do the binging, maybe they're you know, wise about how they do it, but they can keep that going through the course of the game. It's I've never been to a game with a buzz on. I've never done that. I know you haven't either.
Yeah. No, I haven't had time to do that, Jordan. I haven't had time to drink in a long time. But yeah, you know, that's all part of the fan experience. You're talking about those things. We do additions, the shoot. You're talking about parking and traffic and things of that nature and concession stands. You know, that's our job, to upgrade all of those areas and to make sure that when our fans come to the LSU game, it's just not coming to a game. It's coming to an event, and that they're pleased when they walk in. You know, when you leave that game, that's an experience that they have with their family members, their children, their clients, whatever they bring to the game. It's an experience where they'd be like, wow, you know, something I want to go back to. It's something we really enjoy. It's something that's a part of us.
You have had a lifetime of a career at LSU. You played there. You served in the athletic department in every role imaginable, compliance, the academic center. You were a part of the Tiger Athletic Foundation. You've dealt with corporate relations, marketing, game management. I mean, you've done it all. And what a success story you have been. Not to toot your horn a little bit, but what a success story you have been. Is this something that you thought about when you were playing? This is what you wanted to do?
Jordan, no, I had no idea what I would do after I finished playing. It's just the opportunities presented themselves, and I take advantage of opportunities, and it's been a great career. You know, one thing I tell people, it's not about me. It's about LSU. When you play for Coach Brown, there's those letters on the front that matters. So what we do to make LSU the best it could be. And every day I go to work, that's what I do. It's not about Verge, Osbury, or any specific player. No player is bigger than LSU, no athlete.
No doubt.
So what we do here is not only for the athletes coming in right now, but athletes in the future, that we're doing what's right to make sure that, you know, all of LSU, not only LSU Athletic Department, but the university. When I do things, it's how we can use LSU's brand in a positive way. And that's what we stand for at LSU.
Verge, how has the transition been? Has Scott, our athletic director, I know he hit the ground running. Has he got himself reacclimated to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, LSU quickly?
Well, that wasn't a problem. You know, Scott has a fishing camp here in Louisiana a lot, even when he was gone. Scott's not a great friend, so it's been an easy transition for us. And, working together, and you know, remember Scott was here when in the glory days when we hired Mark Emmett was here, and we hired when the run started here for us. Hired first Coach Saban and the rest of the coaches. He's been a part of that, so he knows what it's about. It's very good fit. He knows the people here. His parents still live here, so you know, this was a great transition. It's just coming back home and start back where we started. In those years of 2000, the whole group of us, you know, that was a great group. You had Scott, you had myself, you had Dan Radakovich, who's AD at Clemson right now, you had Herb Benson at the SEC headquarters, you had Chris Howell at NCA, you had Eddie Nunez, who's AD9 in New Mexico. I mean, you brought Mark Eman over, Bo Bosson's still there, Miriam, and you had Judy Souther from Texas Women. So it was an all-star cast we had up there, and I'm like administrators throughout the country. And Scott was part of putting all that together. And you had Skip Bergman, the great one, who was AD. And Skip knew how to handle coaches. Skip knew how to handle people and fans and the fan experience. Skip was big in that. That's all we want. We all pull in the same direction. I think that's what we got to put back here at LSU, where there's a lot of excitement right now at LSU. You know, these things are going right. It's like there's a momentum going out there, building up. Mm-hmm. Building up to the football season, the basketball. You know, Coach Paul Maneri, you know, he's going to be okay next year. Another great team, track and field. Just everything you see LSU in as a positive light. And that's kind of where we're going to be.
Yeah, it's awesome across the board. There's no question about that. Amongst all your myriad of job descriptions, are you still in charge of football scheduling?
Yes, football, football and basketball, life and sport, and manage the day-to-day operations of the athletic department. But yes, I'll still be doing that, and my external parts will be helping institutions and government relations, state, federal, local, making sure that LSU is getting their due. But that's what we're here for, to help in any way we can. And it's a great tie-in with athletics and governmental relations and making sure that we're doing what's best for the institution.
So tell me, is it that much better than the old Broussard Hall dining table? Come on. I mean, those are great days.
I bring you on a tour. Now, I'll tell you this here. Some of the same cooks are still there. Miss Thomas, Miss Mosley.
Really?
Are still there, yes. Yes, George, when you play. So they've been there 37 years. And so the food is still the same. You know, you have this type of building you want to have, but the food's bad, it doesn't make a difference, Jordy.
That's
so,
right.
So that's what we told them. You're building this Taj Mahal, that's great. But the cooks back there and the food that's coming out need to be the best.
All right, well, I want to be invited to lunch and go with you one day. I want to see it and see if see if that food still tastes the same.
You'll gain some pounds on that, Jordy.
I don't need to do that. Look, I greatly appreciate greatly appreciate the time. It's been a very, very busy week, but now it's time to hunker down. It's time to get ready for football season. We're 30-something days away from it. I can't believe how quickly it's coming. It could be a remarkable season. At least we hope so. And thanks for being in the leadership role that you are, and thanks for your time, my friend. I don't know how you do all the things you do, but keep it up.
Enjoy all the work at LSU, Jordy. Thank you.
All right, buddy. You take care. Virg Osberry, Executive Deputy Athletic Director, Executive Director of External Relations. Not bad for a kid from New Iberia. So you know him. He was a star in high school. He was a star at LSU. And now he's a star in the administrative world of high-profile college athletics. And it is a multi-million dollar business, to say the very, very least. So, New Iberians, you should be proud of Virg Osberry. He has done you well. That brought to you by ShopRite, Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. You know, they're such a well-run business. There are over 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana, providing you with everything you need to make your days and nights go by easily, with all the product that you could ever imagine and need, with specials each and every day across the board. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you just can't shop right at all. We'll be back to wrap up our number one next on the Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is a state. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It was on July 18th that the Raging Cajuns introduced Matt Deggs as their new head baseball coach under the most disturbing of circumstances. But he's been busy, busy working, trying to solidify, first off, his coaching staff for 2020. And he has brought back B.J. Ryan, who returns to the Raging Cajuns baseball program as a volunteer assistant coach and pitching coach. In addition to Ryan being included on Deggs' first coaching staff, he will welcome back Anthony Babineau as the associate head coach, director of player and program development. Jeremy Talbot remains in the program as the assistant coach and recruiting coordinator. And Jake Wells will be the assistant coach and the hitting coach. So continuity always reigns supreme, and I think a very good move by Coach Deggs. BJ had a heck of a career, played for the Raging Cajuns, had a really good major league career, and so he brings a wealth of knowledge. It will also help when it comes to recruiting. You get those kids on campus. He led the Sun Belt Conference in saves during the 1998 season, then earned the conference tournament's most outstanding player award after recording a whole bunch of great stats. He was drafted by the Cincinnati Reds in the 17th round of the 98 MLB draft, made his rookie debut for the club during the 99 season. He was traded to the Orioles. He stayed six full seasons with Baltimore. He had an all-star selection in 2005. He went to free agency ahead of the 2006 season, signed with the Toronto Blue Jays, where he made the all-star game for the second straight year. So just smart business to bring him in. I found this fascinating, and it just goes to show you. Larry Fitzgerald sent this out. He said, when I had my first NFL practice, Kyler Murray, our quarterback, was 7 years old. 7 years old. Now I get to help him live his dream like I have for the past 16 years. The start of camp is always special. Grateful to be back out here with this group of men to embark on a new journey. Larry Fitzgerald, the Heisman Trophy winner, and the number one pick in the draft, was 7 years old when Fitz had his first practice, and now he's still catching passes. What a remarkable career, right? My goodness gracious. Takes care of himself and just makes plays. Always has. Sure-fired Hall of Famer. Interesting note, Cleveland Browns training camp today. It was Tiger versus Tiger. As OBJ ran into the end zone, Baker Mayfield threw a pass, and Greedy Williams picked it off. Picked it off. INT. He may end up being the steal of the draft. He's really good. His ball skills, his anticipation, off the charts. So Greedy making his presence known, and known quite well. To say the least. We talked about Danny Etling, who is wide receiver. He's back playing some quarterback today. He's a triple threat now for the New England Patriots. He is their version. They're trying to get him to be Taysom Hill. Plain and simple. The Houston Astros made their roster moves official today. Carlos Correa activated off the 60-day injured list, and Tony Kemp was designated for assignment. So a little baseball news for you and yours. So here we go. Here we go. Second hour of the program coming up. We're brought to you by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy right there on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. You can watch all the baseball games, get some great food, bring the whole family. Hooters, renovated, it's new, it's improved, just a fun place to go. Hooters just makes you happy on Ambassador Caffrey Parkway. Hot topics coming up in hour number two, as is our visit with Mike Scarborough of TigerBait.com. We'll talk all things recruiting for LSU. In some boards, they have LSU as the number one ranked recruiting class in the country. In others, no lower than number four. No lower than number four. And Coach O trying to get this thing wrapped up completely for the early signing period. Wouldn't that be something? So we'll talk with Mike Scarborough, and we'll recap the week with George Becknell. Plus a history lesson, birthday wishes, and a lot more. 1 hour down. We can't change it. We can go better. We always try to do better every day here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. We're number one in Acadiana for a reason. And we're going to keep on doing it, baby. Keep on doing it.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Happy Friday to you and yours, and away we go with our number two CD back in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, yours truly, Studio 1A. Day one, Saints training camp in the books on the field. They're in the classroom. They're doing studies as we speak, but wasn't there. But everybody that I have messaged to give me some reports with said the star of day number one, rookie wide receiver Emmanuel Butler. He said every time you look up during team drills, he's making a play, including a fantastic leaping grab down the left sideline in traffic. Now, they're not in pads, but for what they are in, rookie wide receiver Emmanuel Butler stood out so far in day number one. We do it every day at this time of day. We take our daily walk around the sports water cooler CD. Button, please.
It's Friday. That means we get you ready for the weekend ahead with five,
one, two, three, four, five
big questions headed into your weekend. Now let's get it going with your Friday Five edition of Hot Topics.
Take it away, CD. Good afternoon, my friend.
Good afternoon, Jordy. The weekend, it is right around the corner. Of course, everybody is undoubtedly going to be talking about what's going on at Saints camp. It's training camp time. Talking season's over. Time to put those pads on. And I have to say, Jordy, what was really cool was you had Zion Williamson and Jackson Hayes both attend Saints camp earlier today. And actually got an opportunity to talk with the head coach, Sean Payton, and crew to kind of talk a little bit about what's going on with the team and just kind of introduce themselves. And here's Sean Payton talking a little bit about meeting Zion Williamson while at training camp.
My whole thing with him when I told him this wasn't about football. This is just another shoe deal, another jersey deal. 2 days of practice is all we need. We get another shoe deal. Doesn't have to be as big as the last shoe deal. Another jersey deal. Put them in another number. Now, it's good meeting some of those guys.
It is about the shoe deal. Pretty good, Sean Payton. He ain't no dummy. You know what he wants? He wants some of. He told Zion in his ear, look, I'm a size 10 or 11, whatever size kicks he wears. Spread some of that Jordan brand over my way. You'll see. Watch. Sean Payton will show up with a pair.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. He will show up with a pair to start off the regular season, Jordy. I think Zion Williamson already is getting one of those express delivery of the early release of the colorways that he's going to have. I would love to see that out on the gridiron week one, Jordy. It'd be awesome to see that.
I think the black and gold Jordans would be terrific on Sir Sean. Yes, indeed.
Jordy, it'd be amazing. And, you know, you talked about earlier at the end of the hour, actually, I should say, B.J. Ryan officially announced as the new pitching coach for the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. It looks to be a trend going on, Jordy. Not only him, but recently retired Troy Tulowitzki. In fact, like minutes after he retired, he wound up taking a job as part of the Texas Longhorns baseball program as a assistant coach. And it makes you wonder, Jordy, is this going to be a trend going forward until we see that third assistant coach get paid full-time like the rest of the assistant coaches? Because you got to think about it, Jordy. Yeah, former players got plenty of money to kind of – you're not having to worry about the money coming in.
Right. They don't have to come up with these camp money to pay them. It just keeps them in the game, and I think they want something to do to fill their time, and baseball is what they know and love. So, yeah, I see it as definitely a trend, and why wouldn't you take them with the experience they have in the big leagues? Kids will listen to them because every kid that's playing college baseball wants to be them one day and be in the big league. So, smart move. Yes, indeed.
Oh, it's a smart move, and I think everybody has to agree. Something just to kind of keep an eye on going forward is what's going to be going down with that, because I think it's definitely going to continue to be a big talking point, Jordy, heading into the 2020 baseball season and beyond until this winds up getting done. Do you ever see it happening where we have all three assistant coaches getting paid to where we don't have to have these guys relying on, like you mentioned, those camps that they put on during the summertime?
Yeah, there's so many schools that are playing baseball, and very few of them make the money that the LSUs, the Raging Cajuns, the Power Five. Not all Power Five conference schools make money in baseball. They lose money. So you've got that battle between the haves and the have-nots I don't know what the solution is, to be quite honest with you, because I always thought by this time they'd have more scholarship opportunities for players in baseball, and I thought they would have at least three, you know, coaches that are full time, but been wrong so far. So I don't know if that needle's going to move to that direction anytime soon. I just don't see it.
I'd kind of have to agree with you there, Jordy. And, of course, NFL training camps there starting up all across the country. In fact, in Oxnard, California, the Dallas Cowboys are officially underway, which is weird that they do the entire training camp in Oxnard, California, instead of beautiful Dallas, Texas. And you definitely use a college football field for that. It's weird that they're doing this, but, you know, it is what it is. But my question to you is, Jordy, Ezekiel Elliott held out, and it seems like everybody's kind of mums the word on it, eerily quiet when it comes to Ezekiel Elliott, and considering the past kind of what's been going on with the boy, Jerry Jones, he could very well be holding the cards in the future of Ezekiel Elliott. It could be all in his hands right now rather than Ezekiel Elliott pulling a power play.
Well, of course, it's in the owner's hands because he's already agreed to a contract, and Ezekiel is not going to hold out, but they want to reach some kind of a deal. And I don't blame the player, particularly a running back. He has produced numbers that we've never seen before in his couple of seasons. He's still working on that rookie contract. He wants to get paid. Players have so much power right now, so we'll see, but I kind of like that the Cowboys go to Oxnard, California. They always have, and they always will. Get away from everybody, get away from the bright lights of Dallas, and just hunker down and do it. They're in a win mode situation now for their head coach as well. So I think Elliott will get paid. I really do. He's too valuable to that team, and there's mumps on the work because all the players are pulling for him. Simple.
I'd have to agree with you, Jordy. That's going to be the big thing looking ahead to what's going to be going on in training camp. I think those are the two biggest holdouts, Ezekiel Elliott and Michael Thomas. But I feel like Zeke Elliott is one of the more interesting ones because of the fact of who the owner is, and maybe he's got too much of an ego where he's going to be dealing with it a little bit differently.
I'll make one. I don't like predictions, but I'll make one. I think Michael Thomas gets signed up before Ezekiel Elliott does.
Oh, I think we're both in agreement on that. I said it on yesterday's show. I think it's going to wind up getting done before the weekend is over and done with, because I think Julio Jones will be getting signed before my head hits the pillow tonight, and then we wind up seeing Michael Thomas probably by Sunday, because it feels like to me, I mean, Julio Jones, it's largely a handshake deal from all the reports that I've been hearing. So hopefully one shoe drops and then the next one soon after.
Yeah.
That's going to be the big thing, Jordy. But, of course, one more thing before we get out of here. We got to talk about Grant Delpit, named to the Walter Camp Award watch list. That is four of them he's a part of, Jordy. Four preseason award watch lists. This dude has definitely got a lot of hype heading coming into his junior season. Can he live up to that expectations?
I hope so. A lot of pressure. But pretty darn good. So we'll see. Some of them thrive on it, some of them don't. But anyway, great job, CD. I appreciate that. Brought to you by Cajun Chef, the best hot sauce on the planet. Do yourself a flavor. Bring some bottle of Cajun Chef hot sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Recruiting update next, the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
And welcome back. Boy, our LSU football followers are hoping that they see on their Twitter feed, hold that tiger at around 6 o'clock tonight, because that would be great news on the recruiting front. And no one more in tune with recruiting than our next guest, Mike Scarborough, the boss of TigerBait.com. Michael, man, long time, buddy. How have you been?
Hey, been doing good. Good. Been a while, yes.
It has been a while, but I got to let you have a little downtime with me, man. I don't want to wear you out, but
a lull here last week and a half, but it's cranking up with the new facility unveil on Wednesday and the dead period ending, and recruits are coming on campus this weekend, and Jaquel and Roy tonight, and just put up a story on Zach Evans, the five-star running back who was there yesterday from Houston North Shore. So, and of course, practice starts the end of next week.
21 commitments tells me they got four left. Jaqueline Roy is going to make his announcement tonight between LSU, Alabama, Texas A&M. He's right there in the backyard at the University Lab School. He was the kid that was committed and then decommitted. What is your anticipation for tonight with Jaqueline Roy?
Yeah, I'm saying it's LSU. I felt that way for over a month. I know he ended the weekend before the dead period started. He went on an official visit to A&M. That got some people nervous, but I think he got home, and I think that it's going to be LSU. And number one player in the state, we have him as a five-star on Tiger Bait, and he's a pivotal part of this class, the number one player in the state of Louisiana for 2020.
It would be a loss, no question about that. But, boy, they got a lot of kids on that defensive line. Is this a must-get, or are there some others out there that are more significant than this kid?
No, he's a must-get. He's a devastating defensive lineman. Of course, you got Jacoby and Guillory at Alexandria that will still be out there. I think LSU looks good for him. I think Jalen Lee is an absolute stud from Live Oak that's committed to LSU. The Jenkins kid from John Aird who blew me away at the LSU camp in June, got an offer and committed. So they wanted a big class of defensive linemen. They got it, and they still have Jacoby and Guillory out there after Jaqueline Roy tonight. So then the emphasis is on offensive linemen after that. And okay. You got a little, some people nervous because Marcus Dumervil is going to Florida's Friday Night Lights camp this weekend, which is always a big push for them. And so the hope is that he doesn't give a verbal commitment while he's there this weekend.
Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com, kind enough to join us. There's another kid that's got some chatter going on, and that's the receiver from Archbishop Rummel High School, Coy Moore. I believe he was a USC commit, decommitted. LSU's got a lot of wide receivers. Do they save a spot for this kid if he says, I want to come?
Oh, definitely. He's a take. I talked to him a little bit brief two or three nights ago, and he's like a lot of the recruits that is just in love with what they've seen online with the new LSU facility. He's gotten a lot of positive feedback from Joe Brady and, you know, Mickey Joseph, and I think LSU is looking real good for him. I think he could be one of those kids that makes his way to the LSU campus in the coming days. He wants to see the facility in person. So while LSU's not hosting a patented event this weekend like Florida with Friday Night Lights, A&M and Jimbo Fisher's having a barbecue pool party type of thing this weekend. Georgia's got a big event. I think LSU's going to have a bunch of kids that just swing by, and it's more of a casual affair. So gotcha. I think once the weekend's done, we'll be talking about a lot of kids that, high profile that came by to see the new digs. Zach Evans being there yesterday was absolutely huge. I think that is kind of an Alabama-LSU battle for him.
Really?
Got some feedback on how that visit went in our story, and of course LSU still needs a running back in this class. I think Kendall Milton would be Georgia, so Georgia is one of the schools on his list. Oklahoma is full at running back, so by process of elimination it's kind of looking like LSU and Alabama for him right now, but I wouldn't count out the Texas schools. I know A&M's making a push, Texas as well, but I don't know, that kid seems like an SEC kid to me.
Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. Back to wide receiver. There's some talk about the kid, the five-star out of Washington, D.C., Rakeem Jarrett, who's been a long commit to LSU, but he visited Tennessee last month, and the Vols are hot and heavy after him. It's a lot closer to D.C. to Knoxville than D.C. to Baton Rouge. Do you feel good about Jarrett and him coming to LSU, or is that one that you think might be wavering?
Yeah, I just think they're going to have to stay on top of him. I don't have a feel on him either way because he's not a kid that easily will answer the phone when you call him. he's just hard to get a read on. You know, just on the surface, you would say with a class like LSU's got right now, and the state of the Tennessee Vol program just lost in the wilderness, and you don't think it doesn't look like they've got a compass or any sort of GPS device to get out of it. So you would think that they'd have a hard time pulling a kid from LSU. But you know, who knows? I know his mom's certainly a big part of the process, and we'll see how that plays out.
Do you think this is going to be the year that maybe as high as 90% of LSU's class is going to be signed up, sealed, and delivered in the early signing period?
Man, I'm kind of looking ahead to December and looking at that signing day, and I'm like, man, who isn't going to sign? I mean, what are we talking about for January in the second signing period? Are we going to be talking about one kid, three kids? I mean, what's the over and under, three? Four? I mean, I have a hard time believing that it's not going to be 22 or 23 signed.
I agree. And that would be a first, and I'm sure the coaches would be, like, thrilled and elated over that. And back to the facilities. You follow this stuff closely. How significant of a play is that as part of the total package for these kids? Is that a game changer?
I think it. Look, I mean, it wasn't like LSU was struggling with recruits before this thing was unveiled.
Right.
But that is just, you know, getting that tour on Wednesday and tasting the food. I was talking to someone this morning, said that's not like any Piccadilly or Luby's cafeteria style food I've ever eaten. I mean, it was seasoned. Yeah. You went down the line, and it was, you know, crab legs and grilled fish, pasta. You got carving roast beef in the corner, bread put. I mean, it was just off the charts. And you know, these kids like food just like adults do. And when they go through there, and if they go for a visit and they get to sample, you know, what that part of it, and then go compare it to what's out there at other schools on their list. You know, that's just a huge feather in LSU's cap, not to mention what it means to the, you know, the strength conditioning staff, the fact that now that they can tailor make, you know, all the athletes in the athletic department's diet.
Right.
You got a kid that needs to drop 25 pounds and he comes in overweight with a big offensive lineman. You can tailor make it for him.
Right. Miles Brennan needs to gain weight. Tyler Shelvin needs to lose weight. And you can, you know, they can pick and choose and be told exactly what to eat, how to eat it, and all that. And that bodes well.
Yeah, well, Miles Brennan goes to the line and they basically say you can eat anything you want and you can hit that ice cream machine in the corner twice.
I heard they had to kick you out, that you kept going back for thirds.
Well, I was laughing because Jacques Doucet wasn't there Wednesday, and I'm like, you know, Jacques can put away food as any of the big guys in the media. And you know, but he would have had a field day there. But, yeah, it was absolutely incredible. Those kids are going to be eating high on the hog. And we've got a big interview on Monday with someone in the athletic department about what all this means for them, and so that'll be on Tiger Bait Monday.
He is Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. So what do you think is the difference maker for Jaquelin Roy? Because it's been one of those, you think he's coming to LSU. That would be a huge get, one that Alabama did not get and one that Jimbo and A&M did not get. What do you think is the difference maker? Why LSU over them?
You know, just in the conversations I've had with him in recent months, it's, you know, a common thing that he says is, you know, it's home. I mean, that means something to him. I think he's close friends with Major Burns. And, of course, you know, Major Burns got the offer and committed to LSU. I think, you know, that part of it is a big deal. But then, you know, you got to give credit also to Ed Orgeron and Dennis Johnson and Christian Locatour, and all the other support people in the recruiting office that they've
stayed on top of him. And the kid has been inside that, you know, and visited the coaching staff, you know, nonstop for months. And they just stayed the course. And, you know, when they stayed the course with kids that you thought were iffy, or, you know, there was a decommit or whatever, it's worked out well for them. Jamar Chase 2 years ago, John Emery last year, Jaqueline Roy this early this evening. And then we'll see if that can be extended with a guy like Cedric Van Pran from Warren Easton in New Orleans, who's at Georgia this weekend. You know, if they can get back in it with him, which I think that they have become more of a factor than they were a month ago. So there's still time. Unless he goes over to Georgia this weekend and pulls the trigger.
Follow Mike Scarborough on Twitter. Follow TigerBait.com around 6 o'clock tonight. We'll see if Coach O puts out that hold that tiger thing, and that would be terrific.
Yeah,
Mike, thank you.
We'll be live there, so check us out at TigerBait.com.
You got it, my friend. Thank you. Have a good weekend. Let's see. Keep our fingers crossed. Take care.
All right, Jordy. Thanks a lot. Thanks.
All right, you're the best. Mike Scarborough, TigerBait.com. We'll come back with a little this, a little that, as we go over the week that was in the world of sports. And it's been busy. It has been busy. George Becknell joins me next.
Your NBC Sports Radio update starts now.
Ezekiel Elliott officially a non-report for
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Humpert Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
Welcome back. Friday edition as we get you ready for the weekend and we kind of recap some of the big storylines, local, national storylines across the week. And we do that, we call a little dis and a little dat, with my good buddy George Becknell, who's kind enough to join us on Fridays. George, how are you, my friend?
Jordy, I'm fantastic, brother. How are you?
I'm terrific. Are you concerned at all about Michael Thomas not being there for the start of training camp? Does that bother you? Do you have any concerns overall?
Well, a couple of concerns. I feel like Mike Thomas, his presence would be there, being there would help out some of those younger receivers because the Saints receiving core outside of Mike Thomas and Ted Ginn are very, very young and very inexperienced. So I would like him to be there. But once the deal gets done, you know, you got Drew Brees, who's a consummate professional. Mike Thomas has showed himself to be a baller and a pro. Those two will be able to get on the same page very, very quickly. So let's get this deal done sooner than later. But those two will be able to sync up and be fine.
I think it gives those other receivers more reps, more opportunities. You got those camp arms in there. Keep throwing it, keep throwing it. I agree. These things are going to get worked out. Michael Thomas away from Drew Brees isn't going to let it happen. And as Cam Jordan said, I'm not worried. I'll get worried when Drew is worried. Is he worth $20 million? Is any wide receiver worth $20 million, though?
Well, Jordan, it's just the name of the game, man. When you're that guy that's up, you get the highest paid salary, you know. Yeah. And then next year, whoever is up, he'll get a higher salary than that. But when you look at it, Odell's making 18, Antonio Brown's making 16.7, Mike Evans making 16.5. You know, Brandon Cook is at 16, you know. So I feel like 20 right now is kind of where the market is going to be, whether it's Mike Thomas or somebody else. So if you're Mike Thomas, why not? Get your money.
I think the Saints hope that Arthur Blank of Home Depot and of the Atlanta Falcons writes a check to Julio Jones. I think that's what Michael Thomas is waiting on. He wants to be the highest paid receiver, and we got to see what Julio makes first, and then we'll go from there. Anyway, who knows? But it brings me to the point of the Saints' window of opportunity here. This is a Super Bowl or bust season to me. How long is this great stretch last, you think, with the Saints?
Well, Jordan, you know, I love me some Drew Brees. I love me some Sean Payton. You know, what those guys have been able to accomplish in their time in New Orleans has been nothing short of remarkable. In that time span, I think only Belichick and Brady have won more games, right? So, but if you look at it, two seasons in a row, you've had some extreme circumstances stop you from going to the Super Bowl. You had the Minnesota Miracle, and you have the, you know, the missed pass interference call. Right. So now, you know, Drew Brees is 40 years old. The NFL is a league. It's not like the NBA where a good team could be not so good the next year. A bad team could be very good the next year. I don't see how long they're able to keep this up, especially how old Drew Brees is. So you're right. They have to win this year. Next year, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, the backup quarterback, is on the sign for a year. So next year, a decision is going to have to be made. Or is Drew going to retire, or are we going to bring Teddy back? So if you're going to win it, you have to win it now before you have to re-up on guys like Lattimore and Kamara and all those young talent that you have on the football team.
Man, it is so competitive and so difficult. There's no question. You got to get lucky. You got to stay healthy. You got to get the right bounce at the right time. It is a long, arduous season. It's tough, but at least the Saints should be in contention for it and have every chance as anyone to be in that final game 10 years later after their one and only Super Bowl, which I still can't believe that happened. To basketball news, you were a huge fan when he was Chris Jackson at LSU, now Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf, and it was announced earlier this week that his number 35 will be retired. Your memories of CJ, number 35.
Well, Jordan, you know, when you're talking about, like, this was the first guy that I rooted for. You know, I remember being a little kid, being with my dad, watching LSU basketball. And, you know, not to take anything away from Shaq, I had to get older to appreciate how good Shaq was, because as a kid, he's bigger than everybody. He's supposed to be dunking on people, right? But Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf, Chris Jackson, it was obvious that this guy was uber talented. He was the man. I mean, he was the one man press break. You know, you line up in the press against LSU, Dale Brown telling everybody just run down court and let Chris Jackson break it himself. You know, he was a one man scoring machine. He could do it all, and he was electrifying to watch. And he was 2-time SEC Player of the Year, and a point to where the SEC was one of the better basketball conferences in America for basketball. So, you know, I just remember how electrifying this guy was to watch, and he helped me fall in love with college basketball.
And I think, you know, he wasn't tall. He was maybe 6 feet tall. Yep. And so he was kind of like an average guy until that ball was in his hand, and then it was magical. I was very fortunate enough to watch Pistol Pete play. I was very fortunate enough to watch Chris Jackson play. Two different types of players, two completely opposites, but they knew how to put the ball in the basket, and it's and I think it's great. I've said it before. Look at the five retired jerseys: Pistol Pete, Chris Jackson in your backcourt, Rudy Macklin, Bob Pettit at your forwards, and Shaquille O'Neal as your center. Who's going to beat that team? Seriously, name me another school. Give me their five best players. Who's going to beat that team?
I'll take that five against anybody. Maybe you could pick a five from, like, Carolina or Duke to compete with them, but I'm taking that five all day of the week.
You and me both. So pretty good for Mahmoud, number 35. Pretty good deal for Zion Williamson. Gets the richest shoe deal in pro basketball history with the Jordan brand. You surprised he stuck? I know Jordan is a separate entity, but it's still under the Nike umbrella after the blowout against North Carolina. I thought he might go some other direction, but money talks.
Well, Jordan, I think that was more of a freak accident. You know, that could happen with any pair of shoes. But I'll say this, Jordan. You know how big of a Michael Jordan fan I am, and you know I love Michael Jordan sneakers, right? Zion made a mistake by signing with the Jordan brand. He made a mistake.
Why is that?
He could have gotten that much money, around the same amount of money, from Adidas or from Nike, And when you're talking about Zion, Zion is a rock star right now. He only can get more popular as he builds his brand. And you cannot build that type of brand wearing sneakers where you're the second best player on the shoe. So for me, I think he would build more of a legacy wearing a brand that's not associated with one particular person's face, especially that person who's the best player to ever play your particular sport. So while I love Michael Jordan's shoes, and look, he comes out with a pair of retro 11s in Pelicans colors, I'm going to buy them. I think that is a mistake for Zion when building his brand. But if Michael Jordan calls me at 19 years old and says, I want to pay you like $75 million to wear my shoes, I don't really see how I say no to that. But I think he should have gone with Nike or Adidas or somebody else.
Interesting, interesting. I never thought of it that way, but he will be the second best player in those shoes. So as of right now, Pelican fans hope that maybe one day he surpasses the legend, but well, that's not
going to happen.
But anyway, very interesting. that's a great perspective on your part. George Becknell, a little this and a little that. We saw the joint press conference of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, which has catapulted the Clippers to just about everybody's choice to come out of the West, the wide, wild, wild West that is. They had kind of talked about wanting to play together for the longest of times, and now they finally get their chance. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome for the city of Los Angeles, because now you got like an underdog team, you know, in the Clippers, who's never really been good at anything. You know, they've always been like the second class citizen to the Lakers,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now you got two
right.
guys from the area to come play on a team, and not just two guys. You're talking about two top 10 talents in the NBA right now. Kawhi Leonard, you know, I think some people would even say that he surpassed LeBron James as the best player of basketball, especially after what he pulled off last year. So these aren't two scrubs. I think it's good for basketball. You know, it kind of gives you more balance in the NBA. And this is good. This is good for sports fans, because think about you mentioned the Saints winning the Super Bowl in 2009, right? Think about the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the NBA title. Think about all these other little franchises that's been in their prospective leagues for years who've never won anything. This is good for the NBA, and this is good for L.A. Now you got a conversation, you know, who L.A. belongs to. Obviously, the Lakers,
right.
you can't touch the Lakers, you know, history, right? But this year, could the Clippers touch them? Probably. So I like this. I think this is good for basketball. This is good for everybody.
Well, Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers, has come out with some renderings. They've got to get out of their building. They can't share a building with the Lakers if they want to ever get out of the shadow of the big brother. They got to be in their own entity, their own place in which they play, be separate and apart. And now you've got an incredible, incredible rivalry working between those two. So, Kawhi can win three titles with three different teams. Not many can say they can do that if he can get it done with the Clippers, who they got a heck of a coach. They got two premium players, and they got some other guys on that team that are pretty good as well.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the Clippers organization. The Clippers organization is built really, really well. You know, you got good role players over there. You know, you got to love, like, Patrick Beverley, right? You got to love – everybody needs a guy like that. Like, the Bulls had Dennis Rodman. The Lakers had Meta World Peace, you know, a.k.a. Ron Artest. You always have to have your one guy like that, right? You know, Doc Rivers is a basketball savant. He's one of the best basketball minds out there. And you have a stable front office, which you look across the street with the Lakers organization, they don't have that, right? So I think they got as good of a shot as any. And not only that, this isn't just like a fluke for the Clippers. They've been building this for a while.
They might
actually have an opportunity to sustain some type of long-term success. So I'm happy for them. Yeah.
I'm amazed how And I'm very curious because nobody's even talking about LeBron James. For 10 years, the greatest player in the NBA, no question. Is he as great as Michael Jordan? Is he passing Michael Jordan? Now, Kawhi Leonard's the best. Giannis Antetokounmpo's the best. James Harden. And LeBron has been knocked down and down and down. He's just sitting back, hearing it, hadn't said a word. I think he's going to go nuts this year. That's why don't sell out the Lakers. If he and Anthony Davis stay healthy, and LeBron, for the first time in his career last year, it's the first time he's never been healthy, but if he bounces, I think LeBron James is going to go nuts in the league this year. I really do.
I mean, I think so too, Jordan. You think about it. LeBron, two things LeBron has made a name for himself over his career for, right? He's been known as the ultimate utility knife in the NBA. Like, he's good at all facets of the game, more so than a lot of people that we've seen, right? And the second thing is he's been known to keep his body in peak physical condition more so than anybody else who's ever played the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's averaging over, 15 years it was? He was playing, like, on average over 100 games a year way into June. Last year he played 50-something. So he's rested, and he's still in great shape. And I think when healthy and when 100%, LeBron James is still the best player in the NBA. Like, I didn't see anything from anybody that made me change my mind about that. Not yet. Now, could it happen? Possibly. But I think you're right. If Anthony Davis could stay healthy, because the Lakers roster from top to bottom is better than the Clippers one. The Clippers just have a better organization and better coach. But from top to bottom, you know, with Danny Green, you know, you still got Kuzma. You signed DeMarcus Cousins, who's a talented guy. You know, if he can get in shape, that Lakers roster is nice. So, you know, LeBron has a chance to be that guy to win the championship with three different teams.
I'm just telling you, he's going for the MVP. He's going for the scoring champion. He's going for everything this year. And who am I to be in doubt of his abilities and capabilities? He has been very quiet, in the background, hadn't said a word. I promise you he's in shape. I promise you he's ready to go. Did you see? Zion needs to get in shape, by the way, and he is. He looks like he's already lost. He was at Saints training camp today with Jackson Hayes and talking with Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton and Alvin Gentry, and Zion looked like he lost about 10, 15 pounds already.
Yeah, he does look really, really good, Jordan. But, yeah, he's got to kind of chisel up a little bit. You know, he's a freaking nature athlete, but those 82 NBA games look a little different from that 37, 40-game college schedule that you play. So he's got to get in better shape, and maybe he won't bust those Jordans wide open if he lose a couple more pounds.
And you can't help but get in shape playing that schedule. You're absolutely right. And I don't think he has to be the it factor early on. I think he can be back like with Holiday and Ingram and Favors, he could be like the fourth option.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then
he doesn't have to shoulder the load like most first picks have to.
He doesn't. And if you look at this Pelicans team, you mentioned Holiday, Favors, and Ingram. But also, you know, you got some shooters on this team too, Jordan. Me and you've been begging for shooters since we've been doing this. Now you got Josh Hart, you got JJ Redick. You know, Lonzo Ball is a good distributor. I think he needs to improve that jump shot, but he's not a scrub by any sense. You still got Okafor down low. Okafor is a defensive liability, but he can score the basketball just as good as any other big in the NBA. You know, so. You got a good team of players around you where, you're right, Zion can take his time and develop. He don't have to take 20 shots a game out the gate.
No.
If Zion can take between maybe 10, 13 shots, I'm happy with that.
And nine of them will be dunks, and he'll get his 20 points, and he'll get in the All-Star game. All right, George, I got nothing on the plate for this weekend. Anything interests you in this world of sports this weekend?
Nah, Jordy, I'm going to just watch some training camp, and I'm getting ready for the start of football, man. I'm looking I'm looking forward to see what my Tigers go do this year, man. I think it's going to be a special season for LSU.
I'm looking forward to seeing Hard Knocks on HBO with the Oakland Raiders. That's what I want to see. They may make Foster Moreau an integral part of that with all the bad dudes they got on that team. Foster Moreau, one of the good guys, they may want to balance this thing out. He may become a television superstar. We'll see. But, George, we'll do it again next week, buddy. Have a great weekend, my friend, and thank you.
All right, brother. The pleasure's all mine. Take care.
I like that Zion Jordan second fiddle thing. I like that a lot. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, wrap things up. This is the Jordy Helfrich Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com. Acadiana's Sports Station.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, what a week it's been as we wrap things up. The Jordy Helfrich Show brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson, Cecilia, Exit in Brobridge, everything for your travel needs, including that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Oh, the best cheeseburger you've ever, ever tried. Trust me, DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia Exit in Brobridge, my go-to stop. Make it yours as well. DC's Little Capital Exxon. All right, daily history lesson. It was on this day, July 26th, the year 1952. Mickey Mantle hit his first career grand slam, the Hall of Famer's 15th home run in his second season with the New York Yankees, was a grand salami against the Detroit Tigers. Mickey Mantle, one of the all-time legendary figures in the pinstripes, on this day, July 26, 1952. Today's your birthday. Happy birthday from all of us to all of you. Hope you have a great time celebrating. There's only one person you need to know that's celebrating a birthday today. Happy 76th birthday to Mick Jagger. One of the most influential figures in the history of rock and roll, the front man of the Rolling Stones, just played in the New Orleans Mercedes-Benz Superdome. He met his guitarist, Keith Richards, in primary school. He initially intended on going into politics or economics. The Rolling Stones, and the rest is history. I can't get no satisfaction. Unbelievable. What a career. Mick Jagger. Happy 76th birthday. Special thanks to our guest today, Virg Osbury of LSU, Mike Scarborough of TigerBait.com, and George Becknell for a little this and a little that. Special thanks to my producer extraordinaire, Clint Domain, getting all that Saints sound for us today and everything else he does to make this show what it is. And I greatly appreciate that. Thanks to all of you for listening. Thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Come on back, and after a great, great weekend, we'll recap everything we can on Monday. More on the Saints, more on LSU and the Raging Cajuns prepping for camp, and whatever else comes down the pipeline. Have a great weekend. Until Monday, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.